You're listening to SBS News.
Emma Guffey went from being a dedicated university student to being told she'd never speak again after she suffered a stroke when she was just 19 years old. She lost the ability to speak, walk, talk and eat, and says she felt trapped in her own body.
The loss of speech and the ability to communicate to medical professionals and your loved ones was incredibly frightening, and you're trapped in a foreign body that you don't recognise and you can't even express that to anyone, so it's really scary.
After years of rehabilitation, Ms. Guffey was able to regain speech. Some people lose their speech temporarily, while others can suffer permanent speech loss. Melbourne researchers are now at the forefront of helping people with paralysis communicate and move again, with the help of a tiny brain implant the size of a paperclip. It's been approved for its first human clinical trials, which will be held at the Royal Melbourne Hospital. One of the hospital's professors, Peter Mitchell, is the principal investigator on the trial. He says the real-world effect of this technology is that it will benefit people who are locked into their bodies.
It may not sound like much, but if you are quadriplegic, if you don't have control of speech, the idea that you can communicate, possibly for the first time for some years, with your family in a relatively pragmatic and functional and quick way is very, very exciting.
The Stentrode, as it's known, is a non-invasive brain recording device. It's inserted via the jugular vein into the area of the brain that controls movement, the motor cortex. It is the only investigational technology of its kind that does not require open brain surgery. Once inside the blood vessel, its aim is to relay brain signals to devices such as computers or bionic limbs that could help somebody communicate or control a computer. Professor Nicholas Opie helped design the device.
In the same way that people without spinal cord issues think, their brain becomes active and then it sends a signal down to, let's say, the arm, and they can use the arm. The same thing happens for a lot of these patients with spinal cord injury or paralysis. Their brains are still active, they're still thinking the same way. The signals just can't get out because they're blocked by spinal cord injury or other disease. So we're putting a device in that can record this information, translate it into something that's meaningful for a computer, and then essentially bypass the damaged part so they can control the computer.
Over the next few months, five patients with a range of conditions, including spinal cord injury, stroke, muscular dystrophy, or motor neuron disease, will be recruited to test the device. While the trial is underway, the next step is to ensure it's safe for humans.
We go through the pre-work to make sure that the concept works, then we're going to make sure that it's safe in people. The first five patients are very much about showing that we can put this device where we want to put it, that we can connect it up, and that we can record an electrical signal.
Stroke survivor Emma Guffey says she would willingly have tested the device had it been available at the time she was unable to communicate or express herself.
If the technology was around 15 years ago, it is something I would have been involved in without a second thought.
The first trials are expected later this year, but it could be years before it's accessible to patients. Amelia Dunn, SBS News.
If you enjoyed this, you can find more SBS features on our website or from your favourite podcaster like iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher, or Wooshka.